Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Our series through 1 Thessalonians by looking at chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find this passage on the back of your bulletin here in the sanctuary, or it will also be here behind me on the screen. Again, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Today in our series, we find Paul addressing a question that has risen in the church in Thessalonica. And what I like about this question is that it's a question that I feel like I would ask. It's a question about the resurrection, the central theme in our belief and practice as Christians, that we want to know. God, what about those who have come before us? For the believers in Thessalonica, they have been hearing about the resurrection because Paul and the other apostles and missionaries who've been working with Paul are teaching them about Jesus Christ. And they've been telling them the story of the cross and Christ's sacrifice on their behalf for their sins. And they've been telling them the story of Easter morning and the resurrection and the empty tomb. And as these individuals are hearing these stories, questions begin bubbling in their minds. And one of these questions, again, is, what about those who have come before us? This question reflects a deep concern about the future. We've been told that this resurrection is going to happen, but what exactly will it look like? About 6 or 7 years ago, my grandfather passed away. But about 6 months before he passed away, I had the opportunity to see him over a Thanksgiving holiday. Our family had gathered together, and everyone knew that my grandfather, who had a number of health issues, was coming towards the end of his journey. And I had the opportunity to sit down with my grandfather, and I asked him the question. I said, Grandpa, as you are getting closer to being with the Lord, what is on your heart? What have you been thinking about lately? And he sat there, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, honestly, McLean, I'm a little bit scared. And I kind of tightened up, and I thought to myself, scared? Oh, my goodness. Scared about what? I said, Grandpa, what are you scared about? And he says, well, I know that I'm going to go to heaven. I know that I'm going to see Jesus. So I'm not scared about that, but I am scared about, will I recognize my own father and mother when I get there? How old are they going to be? Are they going to be in their children bodies? Are they going to be in the adult bodies? Or are they going to be in the bodies when I last saw them in elderly age? I don't know. And then what about my cousins and all my friends? How will I recognize my loved ones? My grandfather was scared about the future of the resurrection, he didn't know whether or not he would recognize those he cared about. I think we all have questions about the resurrection. We all want to know what's going to happen, what it's going to look like. Will I still be married to my spouse? Will I know my spouse in heaven? What are we going to do all day? It says that we're going to be joining our voices with the angels praising God, but if that's all we do every single day for eternity, I don't know exactly what to do with that. Will the fishing be as good as it is here in Idaho? These are the questions that we often ask ourselves when we think about the resurrection. Our passage itself might prompt some of these questions we would ask. In verses 16 through 17, Paul gives a description of what the resurrection may look like. And this is what he says. He says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout." Now, the first question I have is, what is he going to say? We're told he's going to come down with a commanding shout, but what is he going to say? How will I recognize that it's Jesus and not just some voice or face that I see on television? What is he going to say? "And with the voice of the archangel." Which archangel? And what does that archangel look like? "And with the trumpet call of God." The trumpet call of God in what key? What note is he going to be playing? And then we get into some really interesting one. "Then the believers who have died will rise from their graves." But what about those who've been cremated? "And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Whose airspace? There's all sorts of questions that we might ask about the resurrection. And friends, I'm going to cut to the chase. We just don't know the answer to them. We can ask these questions of ourselves. We can ask these questions of biblical scholars. But the truth is, when it comes to the details of the resurrection, we don't have very many clear-cut answers. I wish we did, but we don't. And so the question that I want to ask this morning, the conversation that I want us to have this morning, is not about answering the details of what happens when the resurrection occurs. I would rather ask, where are these questions coming from? What motivates the myriad of questions that we have about the resurrection? Certainly, curiosity may play a role. I recognize that some of us are just interested in what might happen. But I also think there is a deeper longing. There's something inside of ourselves that is driving us to ask these questions. Something that needs to be met that can only be met by a living God. And that's what I want to explore. I think if we were to examine our hearts, if we were to look very carefully about where these questions about the resurrection come from, I think the answer is we are faced with the uncertainty of the world that we live in. The world is so full of uncertainty all around us. When will COVID end? I have a family member who I love deeply, who is on the verge of passing away. What is going to happen to them? I have a child who I love, a friend who I love that I see struggling in their lives. What is going to be their outcome? How do I know that they're going to be okay? There is uncertainty that surrounds us in all areas of our lives, because there are so very few things that we can hold on to and be certain of. There are so very few things that we can count on, that we can take to the bank and know for sure that those things will never change. And we think that we have certainty in some areas of our lives that we don't. We think we are certain about our health. I had a friend in college, a health nut. vegetarian, vegan, in the gym 2 days a week, the healthiest individual I have ever seen. And just last year, they were diagnosed with cancer. They lived the healthiest lifestyle you possibly could, and it could not keep them from becoming ill. Our health is not a certainty we have. Our finances are not a certainty that we have. My father worked his entire life towards his pension, and he built his pension, he built his retirement savings, and just when he was getting close to retiring, 2008 happened. And the economic breakdown we had in the housing market, and he lost something like 50% of his retirement and couldn't retire when he was planning. We can work towards a certainty in our finances, in our careers, in all sorts of areas of our lives, but at the end of the day, those things are not certain. Our plans are not certain. We all know this. We all have an idea of how our life is going to go, how the lives of our children, our friends, whatever it may be, we have a plan, and if we just stick to it, then we will get to B, right? From A to B. That's rarely the case. Our plans are never certain either. It is, as the writer of Ecclesiastes say, everything is transient. Everything is uncertain. There's nothing that we can truly hold on to and know for sure that it will not change. And so when we look at the resurrection, it's natural for us to want to ask questions about it because we want to pin it down. We want to know that it is for certain. We want to remove all the uncertainty surrounding this event because we want to know for 100% that it's going to do, that it's going to happen. And what do we do in the face of the uncertainty in all these areas of our lives? Well, we do all sorts of things. Our plans don't pan out the way that we think they should, so we make better plans. Our finances don't plan out the way that they should, and so we go to a financial planner and we say, if we just line up all of these ducks in a row, it'll end up the way. We try harder to be certain in our lives, and this is what happens in our view of the resurrection as well. We try to answer every single question that we have about it until we are certain of the resurrection and its message. That's what we do. But what about God? What does God do in the face of uncertainty? God points to His Son, Jesus Christ. In our passage this morning, Paul starts in verse 14 by saying, "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again." If you want to know something about the resurrection, if you want to be certain about its content, you look to Jesus Christ. And when we look to Jesus Christ, we don't find every single answer, but we find the most important one. In Jesus Christ, we first find Him on the cross. If there is a place where there is any uncertainty in the world, all of that uncertainty, I would argue, is placed right there in Golgotha. I try to imagine the followers of Jesus Christ. They've been proclaiming that they have met the Messiah, the King of the Jews, and now He's being executed by their Roman oppressors. Imagine the uncertainty of the moment. I try to imagine the disciples as they gather in the upper room and they're looking at one another and they're asking themselves, so what happens next? He's gone. He's dead. Their hope, their joy, everything that they had placed in this individual is now gone. If you want to talk about a moment of uncertainty, that is a moment of uncertainty. The uncertainty that we experience in our own lives is the same uncertainty experienced by the disciples. what is God's response to that uncertainty? It's Easter morning. It is the empty tomb. It is Mary and Martha running to the disciples and saying, "He's not there. God has risen him." This is the promise of the resurrection. How will it happen, friends? I don't know. What will it look like? I don't know. Will you recognize your family members? I don't know. But I do know that it will happen. I do know that in Jesus Christ, God has claimed victory over death. I do know that in Jesus Christ, death is not the end of our story. I do know that in Jesus Christ, we will be reunited with our Father, and I believe with our brothers and our sisters as well. The Lord of the universe is our Father. And in the resurrection, we have the commitment that He is with us even in the darkest valleys. It's really interesting in verse 14, our translation says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." The believers who have died. That is the translation that we're given in the New Living Translation. The believers who have died. But when you look at the Greek, that's not a very literal translation. When you look at the Greek word of those, the believers who have died, is koi momenonon. Koi momenonon. Those who are sleeping. Not those who have died. Those who are sleeping. It's as if Paul recognizes, yes, these people, they're not here with us. They're gone. But death is not the end of their story. They are simply asleep until Christ returns and they are resurrected again. Paul is pointing out that death is not a physical category. For the Christian, for those who believe in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, death is not defined when our hearts stop beating. Death is separation from our living God. That is what true death is. But in Jesus Christ, that is impossible. In Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. In Jesus Christ, when our bodies are put to the earth, we are simply asleep. When Christ returns, He will awaken us again. And so what is our response to this death? And what is our response to the resurrection that we have in Jesus Christ? We are given that in verse 18. So encourage each other with these words. Friends, the resurrection is not aimed at causing us confusion. The declaration that the tomb is empty is not to cast us into a cycle of asking questions that we cannot answer. The resurrection is a declaration of joy. It's a declaration of hope. It's a declaration that God is with us, that death has lost its sting. It is a declaration that the tomb is empty, and one day we will be united with the Father and united with the saints. And we will join our voices with the angels, and we will praise Him for His love and His grace and His mercy. Of that answer, we can be certain. Amen. Let us pray. God, in Your grace and in Your mercy, You have promised us the resurrection. You have promised, Lord, that in the face of death, in the face of illness, in the face of loneliness and depression, in the face of all the things that are broken in this world, You have given us the answer to our uncertainty. You are with us. And so, God, in your grace and in your mercy, surround us with the joy and the hope that comes from knowing you and from knowing, Lord, that your resurrection is for us through the grace of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.